Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org. Additional support comes from the Jackson Laboratory, researching the root causes of cancer and other genetic diseases, designated a cancer center by the National Cancer Institute, JAX.org.
Tree Tremont, the protagonist of a new novel titled The Swinger, may remind some readers of Tiger Woods. After all, Tree is a spectacularly successful golfer whose makeup is multiracial. He and his beautiful wife have two lovely children, but he's been sexually involved with numerous other women. When his wife finds out, she hits him with a fireplace implement shaped like a five iron. All this dismays Tree's father, who has told everybody that Tree will have a bigger impact on the world than Jesus had. So, when I had the opportunity to speak with Michael Bamberger and Alan Shipnuck, the two Sports Illustrated writers who collaborated to write The Swinger, I began the conversation by asking them if there was any significant way in which their protagonist differed from Tiger Woods.
Tree is obsessed with using good grammar, even though he struggles with it, because his mother was a Caucasian English teacher from Chicago who was very dedicated to using language properly.
Okay. The narrator in The Swinger is a newspaper man until he leaves the paper to work full-time for Tree Tremont Enterprises. Part of his job is to convince other newspaper men that Tree Tremont's private life is none of their business. Michael, do you agree with that contention?
Yes, I really don't care about the private lives of the athletes that we cover. I think it's an absolute joke that we are going to hold them up to some high standard of what somebody else says is ethical behavior. And whatever happens between Tree Tremont and his wife, Belinda, you can fill in any names you like there, is their business, and they should work it out on their time. And people say, oh, he took all this money from Buick and blah, blah, blah. I really couldn't care. He got that money because he was, you know, as my colleague Alan Shipnuck says, the greatest closer in the history of sport. That's why he made that money, not because he was some paragon of the family man. He's not our preacher. He's not an elected official. He's not a school teacher. He's just an athlete.
At one point, the narrator, Josh Dutra, says, and I'm quoting now, hanging out with Tree Tremont was as intoxicating as anything I'd ever done. Alan, is that the way writers following Tiger Woods felt about being in his presence?
To some degree, you know, Tiger was such a transcendent athlete and such a charismatic figure, but most writers didn't get to hang out with Tiger. We were sort of denied that, and we never got to know him. And just the extent of that was made clear when the scandal broke and everyone was kind of scratching their heads saying, wow, did you know about that? Well, maybe a little, not really.
But that's the interesting thing to me. Well, maybe, I don't know, a little. There must have been some indication of some of these things going on that writers were close enough to him to know that something was going on, no?
I'll tell you what a bad reporter I am. I had no idea at all.
Well, I'd heard a few whispers, but, you know, the PGA Tour is like high school with money. It's a very cloistered little world, and it's full of rumor mongering and backstabbing and cliques and catty behavior. So the fact that you hear a little something doesn't mean it's true. So no, certainly no one knew the extent and the scope of it, and it was really a surprise. So that just drove home the fact that we never really knew Tiger Woods.
I don't feel like I know Tiger Woods at all. I've covered the guy for, you know, since he was an amateur teenager in California, and he's unknowable, and he's a genius at it. It takes a lot of effort to be that public and to give that many press conferences and to reveal that little about yourself. It takes a certain level of genius. When he was still, I think, in high school, he was hanging out with a writer named Jaime Diaz, who writes for Golf Digest, and he said to Jaime at one point, why do they have to know everything? And, of course, he was talking about the press. And that struck me as one of the truest things you've ever heard come out of Tiger Woods' mouth. And I think it informed everything he's done in public since then.
Still, the similarities between Tiger Woods and Tree Tremont are so numerous that some readers are bound to think that you guys are revealing new information about Woods. You put a specific number on the number of women with whom he cheated on his wife, for example. Would those readers be wrong?
Can I jump in here? They really would be, and they really shouldn't do that. This is absolutely a novel. There are a lot of broad similarities, but it's a novel. We've invented this guy up out of whole cloth. We had a lot of fun doing it. We hope we've penetrated the soul of our own character a little bit, but Tree Tremont should never, not for a minute, be confused for the real-life Tiger Woods.
Alan, are you at all concerned about how Tiger Woods himself will respond to this novel? I mean, assuming he returns to the tour and plays well, how much access do you guys expect to get?
Well, we've already gotten a nice flame mail from his publicist, so we know at least the people around him are not thrilled about the book. But, of course, when that was written, they hadn't read it yet, and we've put copies in the hands of people close to Tiger. We'd love for Tiger to read the book. He's an ideal reader. He'll get all the jokes. He'll understand the historical allusions. You know, he's a sophisticated golf fan, so I think if he actually read it, not only would he appreciate those aspects of it, but we treat our protagonist, Tree, with a certain empathy and understanding that I don't think Tiger's been afforded in the real world. So hopefully Tiger will read the book, and that will soften his feelings toward it. As far as being worried about future access, you know, before the book, we had almost no access. and not just personally, but reporters in general. So, you know, that's been a constant theme. Oh, Tiger's never going to talk to you again. Well, he never really talked to us in the first place. Mm-hmm. So we're not really risking very much. But I really do hope he reads a book. And, you know, the shrillest criticism of this story is going to come from those who don't read it. I think people who pick it up will really have they'll change their feelings towards what Tiger's been through based on, you know, what we put our protagonist through.
Well, tell me a little bit more about the response from Tiger's camp before they had the opportunity to read the book.
Well, it was just basic garden variety, belly aching. You know, how could you do this? You know, this story is not about Tiger Woods, but no question his travails helped inspire us and to create this, you know, alternate universe where we could really get to know the characters. So, again, I think that if Tiger reads a book, we'd love to have an informed discussion with him about it. If he never picks it up, it's going to be hard to penetrate the ill feelings of those around him.
And if I could just follow on that, I think Alan said something really important. This book is written with a lot of, as Alan just said, sympathy and empathy for our protagonist. We found the more writing we did, we found we liked the guy more and more, and we felt sorry for him more and more. And the real life Tiger Woods is almost like a freak show the way he grew up. You know, here's this kid at age 3 on the Mike Douglas show, and everybody's looking at him all the time and never really had the opportunity to be socialized in, you know, certainly in a conventional way. Often talks about the 2 years at Stanford that he had as the best 2 years of his life when he could actually hang out with other kids and be a little bit of a kid. But, I mean, Tiger Woods has not had a normal life. Tremendous wealth and tremendous opportunity, tremendous temptation, as we know now. And he made the decisions that he made. And I know there are people who hear what I just said, and they'll think it's a joke. But I don't think it's a joke. I don't think Alan does either. You know, we felt our new jobs as novelists was to try and what we do when we write nonfiction, too, is try to get to understand the character.
Well, you may have felt sympathy for Tree Tremont, but you did have his wife whack him with a fireplace implement shaped like a 5-iron.
She got mad.
Well, she got, and clearly Tree had it coming, right? So, you know, that's one of the fun things about the book is it takes you to all those places that you can't go in real life. And, you know, the Tiger scandal has been unsatisfying in a lot of ways because we'll never really know what happened. There hasn't been any sort of closure. There hasn't been any redemption, seemingly. And so by taking that story and going in a totally different direction, we can supply all those things for the reader. And I think that it will be it's a fun romp, but it also there's a redemptive arc for the character, and there's a little bit of a happy ending. And I think a lot of sports fans and golf fans, that'll appeal to them because in real life, we don't always get that happy ending.
In the novel, your fictional golfer associates, your allegedly fictional golfer associates with Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, various other actual golfers, and they express opinions about Tree Tremont's personal life as well as about his golf. Were those opinions based on what Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer and others had to say about Tiger Woods?
Well, I think Jack said, Dal and I are both fans of Jack and Arnold as well, for that matter, and Barbara Nicklaus, who plays a significant role in the book. And what Jack has said consistently about Tiger, even before the scandal broke, is that he and his generation of golfers didn't deal with the media pressure and the constant examination that Tiger has. And when asked about his private life, Tiger, like the polite Midwesterner that he is, says it's none of my business. So yes, I think you'll find that if you really parsed what Jack and what Arnold say about Tiger, it's very consistent with their public record.
This may be a stretch, Alan, but I wonder if in making a newspaper man your narrator and making the swinger his story too, you had in mind Robert Penn Warren's use of Jack Burden as narrator in All the King's Men.
Well, that's definitely one of my favorite stories. Maybe subconsciously, I think maybe it's also vanity. You know, Michael and I think that reporters still do a heroic duty in this society. We still admire their craft. And we could also bring a certain sensibility. You know, there's a lot of great golf in this book, but a lot of other things are happening. And I think our understanding of the media and how it works kind of informs a lot of what happens in the book. So it was an artistic decision, and it was also something that was comfortable. You know, we know that world very well, and that's what we wanted to write about.
I don't want to give away any more of the plot of the novel than we perhaps already have, although much of it will be apparent to anybody who has followed the story of Tiger Woods. But, Alan, were you trying to suggest to Mr. Woods an ending that his story might have?
I don't think that we're that presumptuous, but, you know, what's appealing about what happens with Tree is he learns from his mistakes, and he comes to the public and he admits them, and he kind of opens up his heart to his fans and to his family. And you know, he offers a little bit of himself. You know, this guy's been hiding behind the moat his whole life, and he had a double life, he had a triple life. And certainly there's some parallels to what Tiger's been through. And, you know, he talked about when he came back from his scandal, he was going to do things differently and he was going to be more open. And that really hasn't happened. If anything, he's become more cloistered. And so, maybe Tiger could learn a few things from Tree. I think that we all would like to see a little more of Tiger's humanity. He can be an extremely funny person in private. You know, we'd like him to be more of himself. You know, clearly he was never himself in public because he had to lead a whole secret life. And so if he could be a little more authentic, I think sports fans would certainly respond to that and would appreciate it.
I mean, look where Kobe Bryant is now. You know, look where Bill Clinton is now. I mean, to think of someone who's actually important. You know, Mike Tyson's in The Hangover, you know, a convicted rapist. It's part of our generous spirit as Americans is the second chance. Yeah. And, you know, there, my own feeling, I think Alan probably feels the same. There's absolutely no reason why Tiger Woods, with all his talent and all his wealth and all his fame, can't do tremendous good works, which he already is doing philanthropically, and lead a great, happy, productive life. Why not?
Alan Shipnuck and Michael Bamberger, both Sports Illustrated senior writers, have written The Swinger, a novel published by Simon & Schuster. Alan Shipnuck joined me from KAZU in Monterey, California. Alan, thanks very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And Michael Bamberger spoke to us from his home. Michael, thanks to you as well.
Thanks for having us.
My conversation with Michael Bamberger and Alan Shipnuck, the authors of The Swinger, will be featured on this week's program. I'll also be talking with Boston Globe reporter Shira Springer, who was in Washington, D.C. at the Roger Clemens trial when the mistrial was declared on Thursday. We'll look forward to Sunday's game between the U.S. and Japanese women's teams, which will determine the World Cup champion, and we'll update the action at the British Open. And for those of you rolling your eyes about how much actual sports will be in this week's program, we'll toss in some competitive sand sculpting as well. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.